Amen. Well, I'm always humbled and honored to be able to share the word with you tonight. Let's pray for the Lord to move upon his word. God, you have given us the gift and the treasure of your word, and for that we are so thankful, God. We are thankful for the many truths and the many promises that are found in your word. And Lord, we stand upon your promise tonight that says that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which you have set forth. And tonight, oh Lord, I just pray that your word would be life to us, God, that it would stir our hearts in a deeper measure, that tonight, God, there would be inspiration that you would cause to go forth by your Holy Spirit into every life, into every family here tonight, Lord. We desire that you would be honored, that your name would be made great tonight as we look into your word, and we thank you for all that you want to do. In your mighty name we pray, amen. Well, our title tonight is Our God Reigns. Can you say amen? The Spirit of the Lord has impressed this word reign upon my heart in a deeper measure this past week. There are certain phrases within worship songs that when we sing them, there is a special anointing that is upon them. And perhaps you can think of other phrases that are related to our God reigns. That when we begin to sing and we begin to declare that our God is still on the throne, that he is reigning and ruling at all times, that there is no other name that is above the name of Jesus, that Jesus Christ alone holds all authority and all power to break every chain, to cause salvation to come forth, that when we begin to sing and declare phrases and words and truths from the Word of God like this, we can literally feel the spiritual atmosphere begin to change around us. In Psalm 93, verses 1 to 4, if you have your Bibles, you can open there tonight. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. The promises for us, the areas that we are admonished regarding in these verses, is that God reigns gloriously. He reigns powerfully. He reigns with strength. He has been reigning since the beginning of time. He reigns triumphantly over the mightiest roar of floods and every storm that we face. He reigns over all peoples and the earth today, and he will continue to be seated upon the only throne that will reign for all eternity. Hebrews chapter 1 reminds us that God is the creator of the earth and that he upholds the universe by the very word of his power. And it is true that there are other powers and principalities that are seeking to reign on this earth today, that are seeking to exert an authority that is greater than they are. Our culture is seeking to reign in our lives. It is seeking to cause us to bow down to its interpretation of truth. And the moment that we begin to compromise the truth of the Word of God, we are bowing down to other gods. We are neglecting the authority and the glory of the only God that is living and that is reigning. Every generation has a responsibility not to neglect the power and the authority, the honor and the glory of our King. He is the only one whose reign brings our salvation and our freedom. He is the only one whose reign is eternal, and he has promised us that there is coming a day where we will reign with him as well. There are three aspects of his reign that are important for us to heed. Number one, God reigns on earth. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 30 to 31. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. As the creator of the earth, his authority is evident. And although he allowed kings and rulers to be set in place to exert a certain amount of authority, God was and is always in control. He continues to be in our day. Psalm chapter 47, verses 1 to 3 and 5 to 8. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. God himself has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations, and God sits on his holy throne. We notice in verse 7 that it says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. We are admonished to celebrate that God is our King. He is the King of the earth, to be thankful for this, to sing and to shout our praises with understanding of what this actually means. Sing with an understanding. Understand and know today that God is alive, that he has nothing but good intentions towards his children. Sing with an understanding of the truth of the Word of God, that his ways are higher even when we can't see it. Sing with an understanding of the truth that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and that he works all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Sing with an understanding. And though, yes, there is terror, and yes, there is tragedy, and yes, there is sickness and death, we have nothing to fear if we know who our God is, if we surrender to our King, to the one who is reigning and who has all things in his hands. Anxiety, worry, depression, fear, they do not belong in the understanding of the fact that our God is reigning on this earth. Unrighteousness does not reign. Fear does not reign. False prophets and teachers who have a misinterpretation of the Word of God, they do not reign. The philosophies of our world, they do not reign. The standards of our culture, they do not reign. The love and the power of our God is the only one who reigns on this earth. God extended this same authority to Jesus Christ as well. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It is important that we are reminded, church, that the reign and the authority of Christ, it has power for our lives. It has significant meaning. When he rose from the dead, he defeated the greatest power of the enemy, which is death. As believers and followers of Christ, death is not our enemy. The fear of death has no hold over our hearts and over our minds. He overcame the power of this fear through his resurrection. There is no higher power, no higher authority than that of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. The name of Jesus shall reign above every other name on this earth. The truth of Jesus shall reign in this generation, shall reign in this earth. His kingdom shall reign on this earth. The risen, reigning Christ has everything in his control. All things are in his hands in the name of Jesus. And in the midst of tragedy, when the world looks at the tragedy and they ask the question why, we declare that our God is moving. We declare in the face of tragedy that our God is reigning, that his plans and his ways, they are perfect in the name of Jesus. He is sovereign. He is reigning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25 says, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Our Redeemer, church, shall reign until every one of our enemies are put, are trampled upon, are secure under the feet of Jesus, until every saint has been revived. He has all power on earth. He who gave himself for us and washed us in his own blood. He who was dead is alive and lives forever. May we sing praises, church, with the understanding that God is the King of the earth and Jesus Christ is reigning over every one of our enemies until everyone has been defeated. Hallelujah. Number two, God must reign in our lives. We have been given the gift of new creation life and the promise that Christ will reign until every enemy has been defeated. Therefore, it is our highest honor. It is our highest duty to surrender our entire beings, to ask God to reign over every area of our life. We can learn from the Israelites many things, of course, but specifically tonight, we can learn from them regarding the importance to surrender to God's reign. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, up until this point, it says that Samuel's sons were ruling as judges over Israel, but that they were not righteous men. They had turned away from the laws of God. They had turned away from serving God and leading and walking in a way that God had admonished them. And so the leaders of Israel, they came to Samuel and they said, please ask God to give us a king to rule over us instead. Would you inquire of God on our behalf? Would you ask God to set in place a king to rule over us instead? And in verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says that the Israelites, they actually demanded that a king be set over them to rule so that they could be like every other nation. Their desire, their choice in who would rule and reign over their lives was based on the fact that they wanted to conform to the patterns of this world and to be like everybody else and like every other nation. When Samuel heard this, he was grieved, and he went to God, and he began to pray and began to inquire of God, and God said, Samuel, give them a king. They are not rejecting you in this request, but they are rejecting me as their king. The Israelites, in this time of their history, began to reject the authority of God as their very king over their lives. And the very same question is put before us as well. Whose reign are we surrendering to in our life? I am not talking about the laws of the land here, but I am referring to social and cultural standards, priorities, entertainments, our very way of living. Are we surrendering to the authority of our culture because it's how everyone else is living? Are we surrendering to these aspects? Do we have a desire to follow what seems easy, to follow the pressures and the temptations that are coming against us? Do we have a desire to do this? Do we have a desire to please man or to please God? Who sits on the throne of our life? When difficulty comes, where do we run? Do we run to friends on social media? Do we run online searching for a self-help book? Do we run to the phone, or do we run to the very throne of God? Who is our true king? What truth are we living by? You see, if we want to live with God in heaven, we must be surrendered to him on earth as well. I'm so thankful that even in our shortcomings, though, even if there is a time in our lives where we need to be adjusted in who we have been choosing to serve and who we have been choosing to allow to reign over our very way of living, that we are promised that we can boldly approach his throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How are we called to surrender to God's reign in our life? The level of our surrender to his reign is directly connected to the level of our love for him, of our desire to please our God. I was deeply moved on Good Friday by the theme that was set before us, that we are all prodigals until we choose to come home to Christ. The story of the prodigal son is familiar to us, and I just want to touch on it really quickly. It is familiar to us, but it is a powerful image. This son demanded his inheritance from his father. And then he set out on his own journey to a country that was far away. And he proceeded to take his entire inheritance and squander it. He began to throw it away. He began to waste everything his father had given to him. And when this son realized the error of his way, wow, he was moved with a deep sorrow and a deep regret. And he decided to return to his father to confess his sins, to beg his father's mercy and his forgiveness. And we know the story of how this father, he sees his son coming from a distance. Yet when he looks upon his son returning home away in the distance, he is not burdened by his son's rejection. He is not burdened by his son's abandonment and turning away from his father's love. Instead, he is moved with such compassion, with a faithful love, that he begins to run to his son. And with open arms, he embraces his son and he welcomes him home. But what I was struck by in a fresh light was verse 20 of Luke 15, where it says that the father, moved by such compassion and a passionate love, he literally fell upon his son's neck. As he embraced him, he fell upon his son's neck. So overjoyed was he that he had returned back to his father's love. And this image of the father falling upon his son's neck, so overcome by the fact that his son had returned, for sure there were tears falling upon his face, and the tears would have begun to fall upon his neck. It is a powerful image for his church that Jesus calls us to be awakened to in our lives. This powerful, deep love that our father has for every single one of his sons and daughters. May we never lose the revelation of how Jesus left, how he continually leaves the 99 to search after, to go after the one soul. And that might be you here tonight. He leaves the 99 who are already in his fold, and he searches after the one person, the one soul who is in such need of his redemptive love, of his forgiveness. These truths are imperative for us to be awakened to daily, for the purpose of our love for our Savior and our God to be passionate and to be displayed, as the Word teaches us. The greatest way that we can demonstrate our thankfulness, our great love for our God, is by living a life of surrender to His plans and to His truths. When we live fully surrendered, we are declaring, God, You reign in my life. God, You reign over every aspect of my life. I surrender control to You to have the authority to convict me, to change me, to show me the ways, to show me the manner in which You have called me to live, that my life might be pleasing to You. He is worthy of this kind of surrender, church. How has He pursued you? How has His mercy come after you time and time again? How has He saved you and set you free and changed your very life? God must reign in our hearts, in our soul, in our minds, and in all of our strength. Matthew 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Let us not gloss over these words because we've heard them 100 times before. Deuteronomy 6:5, it adds the word strength as well. Do we love our Lord tonight as much as He loved us? Passionately, faithfully, giving everything to us. Loving God with everything is connected to the level of our surrender to His authority. Does He reign over every aspect of our beings? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Speaks to us being dead to sin and alive to God. It teaches us that we have been united with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. When we received the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Christ, it means that our old way, our self-centered way of living, was put to death. It was buried with Christ, and we were resurrected into new creation life with Christ. And this means that sin must no longer reign in our bodies. Sin must no longer reign, but we must allow the Spirit of the Lord to have control over our every choice, the way that we live. Romans 6, verses 11 to 12. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. May we love God and surrender every area so that the righteousness of God can reign in our lives. Let's break this down tonight. Do we love God with our entire hearts? Are there any areas of our heart that are divided in its affections to the Lord and to who he has called us to be and all that he wants to do? Any areas of our heart tonight that are closed off to him, where we are not surrendered to his authority, to his desire to change us? Any areas of hurts or brokenness or pride that is hindering us from showing our love to him as he deserves? The surrender of our heart is connected to how fully God reigns in our life. Matthew 15, verse 8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Proverbs 4:23 in the NIV translation, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Do we love God with our entire soul? Our soul is translated to mean the seat of the appetites, our desires, emotions, passions, the activity of the mind, will, and character. Who reigns over the development of our character tonight? Who reigns over our emotions, our passions, our very choices? We must show our love and surrender to the reign of God with all of our soul. We must stay close to the Holy Spirit to recognize any emotions, any desires that might be unpleasing or ungodly towards the Lord, and to immediately say, Holy Spirit, come and wash me of those things. Holy Spirit, would you begin to pour in the godly passions, the godly desires? Help me to change my ways to reflect the righteousness of God. Do we love God with our entire minds? Wow, a powerful battle rages against our minds, doesn't it? Thoughts that enter our minds that contradict our identity in Christ. Thoughts that enter our minds that contradict the call of God upon every single one of us in this place. Thoughts that enter that contradict the power of the Spirit of God that lives within us. I'm so thankful that the Word of God, amongst other things, is our weapon. And we are told in the Word of God that we have been given the very mind of Christ, and that through the power of the Spirit of God, we are able to take captive every thought that seeks to keep us enslaved to fear, to doubt, to unrighteousness, whatever it is, that we are able to take captive every thought that is seeking to keep us back from entering into the full glory, into the full anointing of the presence of God upon our lives. We are showing our love and our surrender to God's reign when we keep our thoughts upon his word and upon pursuing his ways. Do we love God with our entire strength? It is true that our human strength absolutely will fail us some days, but we are called to walk in the strength of God, aren't we? How many men that God called, including Moses and Gideon, immediately began to say, God, I can't do this. God, I am nobody. God, I am too weak. I am too fearful. I do not know how to speak your words. And as soon as these words were spoken, when God came upon these people, and perhaps when he's come upon your life and he said, no, that's the person I want you to call and witness to. This is how I want you to speak and to move in my power. Immediately, God began to tear down those words. He began to tear down those lies. And he reminds all of us, as he reminded many of these people in the Word of God, that it is not by our might, it is not by our power, but it's only by the Spirit of God that he advances his kingdom, that we are able to be used. God uses us in our weaknesses. The story of Gideon is a great example of this. Gideon was called to defeat the enemies of Israel. And what is powerful about God choosing a man like Gideon is that we are told that Gideon came from the weakest clan. He was a very unlikely choice for God to use to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon recognized this. He knew this about himself. And one of the greatest things that I love about the story of Gideon is that Gideon began with 32,000 men in his army. And my, I'm sure for just a moment he looked at the thousands of men that were behind him and beside him and all around him and thought, okay, there must be strength in numbers. For sure, God will defeat our enemies with all of these men that are with us. And yet God looks at the heart of man. And God began to say, no, most of these men in your army, they are only going to rely on their own strength. They are not surrendered to the power and to the Spirit of God in their lives. And God began to send most of these men home, all the men who were fearful, all the men who were going to rely on their own training, all the men who said, I don't know, until God lessened Gideon's army from 32,000 men to 300. For sure, there was at least a thought or a feeling inside of Gideon that said, God, what are you doing? And yet God looked at Gideon and he said, do not fear. Do not worry about your weakness, for surely I will be with you, and surely you will defeat the Midianites as one man. God revels in our surrender. God is able to use our surrender to his reign, to his authority, and to his power in our lives. When we surrender to his power and his reign in our hearts, in our soul, in our minds, and with our strength and his power, they are released. When our love for God reigns, when we live our lives wanting to please the Lord in every aspect with all that we have, it is then that God releases the fullness of his glory and the fullness of his presence. I am moved by this truth. I am moved by these words and by these promises that when we surrender and we love God fully, the power of his reign, it will break forth. He will pour out the fullness of his glory that I know all of us yearn for. We eagerly desire after. We cry out to God and we pray, Lord, would you release more of your glory? We are desperate for this in our lives. For our homes and for his church, for the city and for our nation, we are desperate for God to break through, to show himself as the God of miracles, to show up when we pray, to show up when we surrender, to show up when we prophesy the word of truth. We are desperate for this and we cry out for this. And God is saying, there is power in your surrender. There is power in us allowing God to reign over every aspect of our lives. When we say less of us and more of you, God, I crucify my desires. I crucify my flesh that the power of Christ might be seen. The power of Christ might be revealed. He already is the King of Kings. But we must surrender to the power and fullness of his reign. And each of us have personal responsibility for this. The Father's love is so passionate and deep for us that he is literally moved to tears that fall upon our neck as he embraces us when we surrender and we receive his love and his authority. Let's have the worship team return tonight, please. Number three, the final thing is God reigns in heaven. Can you say amen? God reigns on earth. God reigns in heaven, and he must reign in our lives. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. The little title or the caption above this, in my Bible anyways, is entitled, Heaven Exults Over Babylon. And the verses go on to say this. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. Again they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures, they fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne. And then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Hallelujah, that our God reigns on earth and in heaven tonight? Are you thankful tonight for his victory? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11, 12. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we need to endure, church. We must not be held back when we fall down. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. We are promised that we will reign with him in eternity. If on earth, we can endure in the grace of God if we are surrendered to his reign here. According to 1 Corinthians 15:25, we praise God that he will reign until he has put all of our enemies under his feet. Psalm 47, we praise God that he is the king of all the earth, and we will sing praises with understanding, for he sits on his holy throne both now and forevermore. Let us rejoice, church, in the understanding tonight that our God reigns. Let's stand together tonight. I want to close and just leave us with this final passage of scripture out of Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates. There's anybody here tonight who is weary or heavy laden? Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, you everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord tonight. If you need prayer for anything, you're always welcome to come. We'd love to bless you and pray over you tonight. But let's just take a few moments tonight and let us sing praises with the understanding. Let us invite the King of glory to reign afresh in our lives over every part. Let's not hold anything back from him tonight. Let us invite him to reign afresh over our homes and over Christ City tonight and over the city of Edmonton in the name of Jesus. Amen.